question isn't, is God blessing? I think the better question to ask is, what is God blessing?
When the country is in chaos, everybody has a plan to fix it. But it takes a leader of real understanding to straighten things out.
And you have to decide, does the congregation exist for service, or does it exist to serve us?
Broadcasting from the studios of Vidalia Communications Corporation in Vidalia, Georgia, it's time for Leadership on Purpose with DVA Director of Missions, Reverend Robbie Smith. A time to reflect and learn creative ways to reach our communities for Christ while enjoying a vibrant relationship with our Savior. And now here's your host, Reverend Robbie Smith.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Leadership on Purpose, our Daniel Baptist Association podcast. You may have already guessed, but I am not Brother Robbie. I am Chester Proctor, and I'll be filling in the whole show today for Brother Robbie, who was unable to be here. But we do have a special guest, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But first, just a couple updates of what's been going on in the association. First of all, God did a wonderful work in Adrian at the DBA Children's Camp earlier in June. 175 children, 39 counselors, and all of those folks showed up, and God was faithful as always, just transforming their lives. And want to thank all the counselors and our leadership team for such an awesome week. Also, the DBA Surge Camp took place, and that went on at Bruton Parker College. Also, another wonderful opportunity as students and staff learned and ministered to the community and heard a fresh word from God. And we're so excited and thankful for the salvations that took place at both of our children and youth camps in the association this summer. The missions team brought the Georgia Baptist Mobile Healthcare Unit to Trutland County, and they ministered to folks who could not afford dental care. They ministered at First Baptist Soperton back in June on the 26th through the 29th. And, of course, it was all free of charge. And 50 volunteers and of course, special thanks to First Baptist of Soperton for letting us have it there. And Melinda Gladden for organizing the very important ministry with the assistance of the Mercy Clinic. Well, there's the trip coming up for Mexico. It's the mission trip. And there's going to be revivals and participating in personal evangelism, construction projects. Those dates are September 30th through October 5th, and it's going to be about $1,200 per person. That includes food, lodging, transportation, and the insurance. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for folks to learn and grow and serve. If interested, you still have time at the recording of this podcast to get in your applications with a deposit of $550, but those have to be in by July 29th. So if you're listening to this post-July 29th, the deadline has passed. If you have any questions, either way, you may call the DBA office at 583-2713 and speak to Brother Robbie or Miss Laura, and they will be glad to help you out. As I said before, we're sad that Brother Robbie won't be here with us on this podcast, but don't go away, because coming up in just a moment, we're going to have a special interview, and let me give you a set the stage for this. Back on Tuesday, July 23rd, we had Georgia Baptist Convention sent down Brian Nowak, and Brian came down, and Brother Brian talked about all of the amazing things that you can do when it comes to outreach in your community. What you may not know is, how can we reach the community? What are some ideas, opportunities, missions that we can do within our community, as well as who is in our community? He addressed all of this, provided some very valuable resources, and I had the privilege and opportunity to sit down with Brother Brian and discuss that. And so now we're going to play that interview as our Leadership on Purpose continues with Brian Nowak of the Georgia Baptist Convention.
DBA On Demand.
DBA On Demand.
A broadcast service of the Daniel Baptist Association.
Well, Brian, first of all, thank you for joining us here on Leadership on Purpose and coming all the way down to be a part of the association. And let's start, first of all, and talk about the before we talk about outreach and the demographics and the studies, let's talk about the convention and what it has to offer through the cooperative program for all of our churches. Because I know for one, up until just recently, realized that I haven't begun to tap into the resources that the convention makes available. And sometimes we probably are guilty of thinking of the convention as being just a place where we go meet once a year and get the latest business, but there's actually so much more. So tell us about some, maybe specifically in your area, some of the opportunities that our churches have when they give to the cooperative program to then get back.
I'm glad you asked that, Chester, because I think we're an untapped resource for many churches. They always think, it's for somebody else. And the truth of the matter is that the convention offers people with expertise in any and every area of church life or affecting and impacting the community, reaching them for Christ. So whether a church is dealing or struggling with evangelism or how to grow their Sunday school or the type of music that they are doing, there's expertise in every area. And so if they're struggling or if they've got any questions, need some help, there's somebody there that is longing to and desires to actually reach out and come because of the cooperative program gifts of people so graciously across the state. We can come and do that for free, if you will, for your church.
And that's important because, like I said, so many, I think, unless I'm the only one out there, so many people, we get so caught up in our business of church and our maybe even our mission that and our purpose. But then we hit a roadblock and we think we don't know what to do. And nothing wrong with praying. I mean, we need to pray. But we also need to take advantage of what God has already given us, which would be those resources in the convention. So now let's talk specifically about your resources. First, tell everybody your official title or what it would be, what department you represent from the convention.
I'm a state missionary for the Georgia Baptist Convention, also a consultant for research services. In our area, we have one of our primary responsibilities is the annual church profile, where we do collect data from all of the churches across the state. And for those churches that get that in July, August time frame, they think of that probably as a 1 month, 2 month type of a thing. For us, it's a 13-month out of the year process.
Right.
So before we even finish up 1 year, we're starting another.
Right.
And it really keeps us going all the time. It takes us sometimes that long to collect data from a church.
Sure.
But really, it's important because as we take a look at our churches, we're seeing how God is moving and working in the life of churches. And it gives them a baseline year after year to be able to evaluate ministry, whether it be through Sunday school. What's happening in the life of Sunday school? Is it growing? Is it declining? Is it staying the same? That ought to speak to churches because we really want to see the kingdom grow. And we know through the demographics, talk about that in just a moment, that there are people, a lot of lost people, a lot of people that are not going to church. In fact, many areas, 80, 85, 90% of the people are not in church on any given Sunday. And so that means there's great opportunities for us still in most areas of the state to be able to reach out to them. So the annual church profile helps churches evaluate that. And helps us know overall, I mean, as we take a look at the Southern Baptist Convention and we've seen a decline in baptisms over a number of years, and that causes us to have to evaluate, why is that the case? Is it culture? Is it our churches? What is it that's causing this pattern? And we really do need to get on our knees before God and pray, as you were mentioning, and seek how we can better reach folks in this generation. Because it's changed. It's a lot different than the 1950s when we always go back to and look at the heyday. But we also do the demographics, as I refer to, that help us really analyze the people that are out there. And I think that's important. If we're going to reach people, we need to know something about them. What are their belief systems? What are their preferences in life? If we're helping a church planter go into an area, he needs to know if their preference is Southern Gospel or if it's Southern Rock, because the way that they're going to connect with people, they need to connect on their level, because oftentimes we feel like we need to reach out there, bring them in, then transform those people into who we are.
Right.
But we need to be reaching them where they are. So we need to understand their lifestyles and their personalities and know things about their income and their education. their ethnicity, their ancestry, you know, all these type of things play into who they are,
right?
And in ways that we can personally connect with them.
Well, let's talk before we get into some of the data, and I'm interested in how you get the data that you share. But before we do that, let's talk about the annual church profile for a minute, because in some cases, now I'm a numbers guy, I'm a statistics guy. I love to look at. I mean, our youth pastor and I were cutting up last night during the during your seminar that you were giving, because when you pull up all the graphs and charts, I looked back at him and said, "I'm in heaven," and he laughed. He said, "I bet you are." So that's my thing. I love looking at that stuff and analyzing that data. So I kind of get the feeling that for me, the ACP is not nearly as a necessary evil, if you will, as it may be for some people who just, they're not either gifted or don't like the data and the numbers and that stuff. But for a healthy kingdom church, or a church to become a healthy kingdom church, they've got to first, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but they've got to first analyze where they're at. And if the pastor isn't gifted there, or he doesn't have someone on staff, maybe he's got someone in the church that can help with that. And of course, we've talked about the convention that can help with that, and our association. You know, Brother Robbie would be right there to help with that. But it's necessary, if I understand it correctly, to first analyze where you are and look at your trend as a church to know what kind of, you know, what kind of game you're up against. I mean, so it's for people who would go, "Oh, it's that time again," and we know they're out there. At the same time, we should grasp or embrace the opportunity to get that data down, send it in, because it doesn't just go to you to report. It's not like we're just saying, "Big Brother, here's what we've got." You're actually compiling the data so that now we can have a point of reference to come back to and look at it, right?
Exactly. And any time people can call up and ask for a 5-year or a 10-year church trend profile that goes back and evaluates that, it's about current reality. Let's face the facts. Here's where we are. For some people, unfortunately, it's a little disheartening when they look at those numbers. But it ought not be a place that gets them down. It ought to be something that inspires them to move forward. And even churches that have great successes year after year, they ought not necessarily revel in that, but except that God is moving, but continue to look at opportunities in the future. Well, we've done this year. What has God got in store for next year? How can we even continue and grow beyond this? Because healthy organisms, and the church is not an organization, but an organism,
right.
It's the body of Christ, ought to be growing if it's healthy.
So now let's we've done our ACP. We've gotten that data. We can, as you said, and you said this, I want to make it clear again. Churches that are listening, leaders that are listening to this, they can call you at the or at the convention and request a 5 or 10 year report on what they've been turning in the ACP. So they don't have to have kept this themselves. They can now look back and get that information from you.
Right. We've got digital records that go back to 1932. We've got books and things that go back beyond that. If they wanted to take a look at that, it requires a lot of digging to be able to pull that. But be quite honest with you, for historical purposes, it's kind of interesting to go back that far, but it makes a lot more sense just to look at the last 5 years or 10 years at the most, really, because this is where most of the pastors and most of the church members are living, where they've experienced, they understand what has occurred in the recent past. They know what's happening in their communities. And so it gives them something to evaluate. They can't evaluate what happened in 1972.
Right.
And it just really doesn't impact what's happening in 2013.
Right.
So what's happening today and what has led up to this, then where do we go from here?
Now, you came down, and by the way, let me just applaud God for the turnout. Because that was probably, I don't know what Brother Robbie was expecting, but I told him afterwards that was very impressive for the associational turnout to fill that. I mean, was that, from your perspective, good turnout there?
That was wonderful to see that restaurant filled up with people. And it wasn't just pastors, but it was lay people from the churches that were representing the pastors in some cases that couldn't be there. but a really good cross spectrum of people from the congregations, males and females, and that really is unusual to have that type of a group of people, and to hear them afterwards talk about, we realize where we are, we realize where we need to be going with this, and thank you so much for sharing that. It just kind of reaffirmed some of the things we already knew.
Well, one of the things I think was amazing, you focused or pointed out on your illustration that you used, or your example. You took Lyons First Baptist, and you went, I think it was it 5 miles out right. from Lyons First? So you went and you looked at that, and the very first thing that popped in my mind when you started talking was, we've got all these churches we've got a church, Tabernacle has a church within, you know, Higston Baptist, they're within a mile or two. I don't know exactly the distance, but it's, as the crow flies, it's probably not even a mile. And so there's some of us that are in that same neck of the woods, and I began to think about going out and getting people, but, you know, not hitting the same people too much. And something that you brought out was that there are thousands of people within a 5 mile radius. Tabernacle can't hold thousands. Ryan, Higston can't hold thousands. There's so many out there, and Jesus made this very clear, but there's so many out there to go out and harvest and to lead. And it's not about filling our churches. We know that. But there's so many lost right outside the front door. And I think, if anything, we've maybe, and I'm as guilty as anybody, we've lost sight of just how full Jerusalem is of people that we need to go and reach. And we're great about sending them to Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth, but sometimes we lose sight in Jerusalem, don't we?
Yes, exactly. And one of the other things I think I was mentioning was the fact that we've got a lot of churches in a particular area that could work together to harvest the fields, which is makes that a lot more productive than if you can imagine one or two people that are out there trying to work this huge field. It almost seems like an impossible task, but working together, again, just not the pastor, but the whole congregation,
right.
And then other congregations, if everybody had joint revivals or joint VBS or a big event somewhere in town where everybody got together and just really, really infiltrated their communities, knocking on doors of people that they live next to already.
Right.
I imagine that if everybody in our churches just met everybody on their street and invited them to an event or invited them to church or invited them to the Lord, think of the impact that would have so quickly. But we lose sight of our mission and our purpose sometimes as Christians, and we get comfortable being that businessman or that school teacher or that student or whatever all during the week, and then and sometimes even being a staff member on church,
right?
Because that's our job, and then we forget about the neighbor next door, and we'll gladly give our money to missions, but not so gladly go next door.
Not that anybody's saying don't give to Lottie Moon and
Amen.
Annie Armstrong, right?
Right.
But no, and I think that it's important that we not put our eggs. Jesus, I don't believe the purpose of Acts 1:8. Was to put our eggs into one basket. He was telling us to put our eggs in all those baskets, to spread them out as a church or as the church. So we do. We need to look in our backyard as well as across the globe. Now, your department at the convention put together a CD for local pastors and church leaders, and you went through in about 15 minutes just touching on the highlights of the CD. This is hours of, I don't know what it took to get it all together, but for somebody to actually sit down and go through this is hours of valuable resources, isn't it?
That's what I'm hoping. Part of that obviously is what we've been talking about, the statistics for the churches. You can sit down and see that. You don't need to request it. We've got the demographics for all of the churches on that CD. Don't need to request that either, but it's not just numbers. For those people that like numbers and they can see numbers and it means something to them, we also attach graphs because some people are a little more visual,
right?
So they want to see that. But there's also ministry helps to go along with each one. So what? What does it mean if you've got 50% of your population that are high school grads and 25 or 30% that haven't of adults that haven't graduated high school? You know, what does that mean as far as ministry and how you reach these people and connect with them, and what type of ministry might you do amongst the families that where the adults may be a little less educated? Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that they're not smart people and don't have good jobs and they're productive, but they may have some challenges with raising their children and in the school environment. They may have challenges themselves financially looking for a job if what they currently do fades away. So, you know, as you take a look at education and income and race and ethnicity, we understand there's a lot of challenges sometimes in the South with that. As we take a look at the amazing groups of people that God are bringing this way, different language groups, mm-hmm. and not just those who speak Spanish, but those who speak Hindi and Russian and Vietnamese, and they're just people from all over the world that are being drawn to Georgia. And we don't have to necessarily take that mission trip overseas. That's we just right. take that mission trip to the other side of town, perhaps,
right.
Where God's bringing. And so God called us when he said, go reach the nations, the ethnos, mm-hmm. ethnicities, the people groups. They're all around us. We don't mm-hmm. necessarily have to be looking overseas. They are here.
But do you think that sometimes our outreach efforts in churches fail because we, you know, our folks, many of our leaders, they have their heart is in the right place. Their heart is for the lost, and they want to go and do and witness. But do you think that sometimes maybe we use the demographics from inside the church as our springboard instead of using demographics from outside the church? We know who we have already inside, so we tailor, I hate to even say programs, but we tailor those programs and those outreach ministries, and they're more effective if we were trying to reach the people we already have versus the people that we don't even know exists.
Well, there's a couple ways of really looking at the fact of the matter is you are going to reach people who are like yourself. You are going to have the best opportunities to be able to reach people that are like you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that it's wrong to look for and target those areas because you can connect with people, your best friends or people who are like you, and they may have the same education, live in the same type houses, drive the same type cars. They're just, you know, they enjoy hunting or fishing like you do. They've got, you know, the same type hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a natural connection that is going to take place, and we ought to take advantage of that. But we ought not be blinded to the fact that God is colorblind,
mm-hmm.
and he's the one who gave languages
right.
across the world. And one day, every tribe, every tongue, every nation is going to stand before the throne and praise him.
Mm-hmm.
And we really ought to evaluate some of our maybe long-term thoughts, attitudes, maybe even prejudices,
mm-hmm.
And think, get focused a little bit more like Christ, mm-hmm. and not look on the outside, but look on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. and like Christ, when he looked out and he wept over the nations and the peoples in the cities, because he knew their hearts. And
yeah.
He was looking on the inside. And we really need to allow God to break our hearts mm-hmm. like that.
Amen. Now, in your CD, you not only offer us plenty of data to sift through, but you also offer us ministry opportunities. I saw things in there from VBS ideas to small group ideas to even internal assessments that you can use within the body that you already have to assess. I know in my opinion, one of our strengths, and I'm tasked as the responsible party at Tabernacle for this, so I can say this is because it's my fault. One of our weaknesses, rather, is that I don't know, and I'm excited to get this gifts in the hands of this test in the hands of our people, because I don't know where everybody's gifted.
Mm.
And some of them don't even know where they're gifted. But we're in the process of doing a spiritual gift series on Sunday nights. The pastor's leading that, and then at the end of that, we'll do a gifts assessment. But let's talk about the assessment real quick, because you've got the spiritual gifts assessment, which most people are familiar with them, if only that they exist. One assessment that was on there, though, was not spiritual gifts. It was traits and skills kind of thing, right? Talk about that.
Right. There's several different surveys. It goes from questionnaires that people can fill out or interviews that people can do with people to discover where they are and how they feel about the church. But there's also that spiritual gifts assessment, and there's a number of them out there. And I don't know whether one's better than another, but if you've never taken one and people haven't had a chance to evaluate from a biblical perspective, maybe some of those gifts where God has given them, it might even be better to give it to somebody else because they might have a better idea as they take a look at your life. And they may see some traits that you might naturally assume, well, I'm a leader, but maybe they see that you're more of a servant and a giver. So that's maybe a thought. Maybe you take it and gave it to somebody else and take it on your behalf as well.
Right.
The time, talents, and giftedness survey. I believe God puts so many different things in our life, our experiences as we grow up, the family situations that we're in. Who better to reach out to somebody who's going through a difficult time in their life than somebody who's already gone through that and experienced God's grace through that? So let's learn about some of the experiences they had, some of the education that they have, some of the passions that they have in life for certain hobbies or gifts or talents. And, God creates us this way and pulls all of these together to make that unique person that you are and that I am. Mm-hmm. And we ought to be using all of those experiences and all of those traits for God's service and His glory. And if they are undiscovered yet by the churches, then we've got an untapped resource out there. So as we start discovering those who are very good and gifted with their hands, those that are good with numbers, or maybe enjoy doing something on the computer, who knows? Maybe they're the next person to do the PowerPoint slides or put up something there in the church or work on the church website. You've got geeky people like that.
And
a lot of young people that are really good with that. Give them an opportunity to be involved in the social media ministry of the church. There might be some older folks that just really don't get it.
Right.
But it's one of the most powerful tools nowadays that we have for reaching out to our communities and around the world.
Sure.
It's not limited to where you are. You can have a worldwide impact right here from Vidalia.
That's right.
Very easily.
So then, you also, we're about to wrap up, but you also included all those ministry opportunities or ideas, invaluable resources that may not, we know that all of them won't work at every church, but there's opportunities for them to sift through and pray over and discover what is available for them. So how do you go about getting all that? I mean, is that something that has been provided to the convention, or is that something that your office and your team had to put together?
It's actually kind of a passion of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I came out of traditional churches in the past, and a few years back we started a new church, and you probably heard me talk about the externally focused church.
Mm-hmm.
We actually read through that book together as a team, and we decided that this is what God had really intended for us to be, not to be focused on ourselves, but to be focused on His community and focused outside of the church and reaching those people and connecting with them and keeping our mind always on the community while we're building and discipling folks. So that really kind of came out of a passion of mine to not just stay with status quo, but to allow God to move and mold and maybe create in us the church that He had intended for us to be all along. And it was a real valuable experience. We started off in a church in a elementary school, and so many of our people just invested themselves in the life of that school. It went from 700 people the previous year. We started the church up that summer in there. They opened the doors with 1,400.
Wow!
And really kind of unexpected. And so they needed all hands on deck.
Right.
And so we had folks during the day, you know, there in the hallways and helping get kids through lunch lines and helping monitor and the testing and being there in the office. And we were there ministering to the teachers and to the educators and to the children as we were teaching and mentoring them, tutoring them, reading to them. And you say, why would you do that? Well, when doors opened for ministry, guess who they called? Because most of these children have no church memory whatsoever.
Right.
And they've never been to church. Their parents haven't been to church. And so when somebody's sick or somebody had cancer, somebody was in an accident, well, they naturally called on the only church they knew. Mm-hmm. That was the one that was meeting there and was meeting the needs of their children day after day in the church. And I think that's something that any church can get involved in. And there's a lot of seniors that say, there's nothing for me to do. Well, that's a perfect opportunity. You know, while a lot of young folks are working, they can't devote that kind of time. There's a lot of seniors that can do that day after day. And just imagine all the grandchildren, you know.
Yeah, that's right. And boy, do we need it in the schools, you know. And the thing people, I don't know, I can't speak for your area, although I think you have. But I know in our area, our schools are willing. They're excited to have people come in. And I know that there's this mindset in our country today that the separation of church and state has not become what our founding fathers intended it to be. But at the same time, around here, our school leaders are willing to let you come in. And I mean, they don't want you to stand in the lobby and preach hellfire and damnation as people come through the door. But that's not what Jesus would have done. He'd have gone in and served the lunch line. He'd have gone in and helped the kids get to class and been there as an example. And I think you were talking, I know you were talking last night about how we're the salt of the earth. You use it scripture. You use scripture about letting our light shine before men. And this is how we do that. And then when they turn and they need some help, then we turn them in the direction of the cross.
Right.
And so I had to reiterate what you said.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
You know, a salt in a salt shaker doesn't salt itself. It's already salt. It's got to be shaken out in order for it to be effective. And we need to spread ourselves out and shake ourselves out in a community that so desperately needs Christ. They may not know it.
Yeah.
Until we get out there, we infiltrate. We become a part of society, and we let the light of Christ shine.
That's great. Well, real quick, anybody who wants to get a CD can contact the association, I believe. They could also contact you, but locally speaking, they could contact Brother Robbie at the association, correct?
I think Robbie's going to try to get out to many of the churches as well, but I'm sure that if they wanted to come by the association and pick it up, he'd be more than willing to do that as well.
But he can make copies with the duplicator, so there's plenty, and you've given the okay for that. And our churches that may not have picked up on that last night or that weren't there to get the CD, but they get them later, they can also duplicate these CDs, correct?
That's correct. And there's a lot of resources there for anybody that is teaching, preaching, doing any kind of ministry that for research to help them out in their biblical studies as well. Some really great resources that are all internet-based, so they can click on those and get out to those sites. Things that I've accumulated and have been, I think, been helpful to me, and have been helpful to other folks as well.
All right, ACP questions, because it is that time of the year, so people are working on those reports and those profiles, as well as outreach questions. How can we be more sensitive, maybe, to the needs of our community? How can we be more effective by going out in the community? Those questions can be directed to your office. Tell them how to get in touch with you.
You can email me at bnowak, it's B-N-O-W-A-K, at gabaptist.org. I can go to our website at gbcresearch.com or .org, either one. They can call me personally at 770-936-5245. So web, email, phone, I'm there.
All right.
Even got Facebook
if you want to
connect with Brian Nowak there on Facebook.
There you go. All right. Well, Brian, thank you for coming down and not just speaking to the pastors and leaders at the seminar last night, but also taking time to talk to us here on Leadership on Purpose. I know God stretched you a little bit to come in and do this, but appreciate you doing it, and we look forward to partnering with you in the future.
Thank you. I do as well.
You've been listening to Leadership on Purpose, a production of the Daniel Baptist Association, recorded in the studios of Vidalia Communications Corporation, Vidalia, Georgia. For further information on topics contained in this program, contact the Daniel Baptist Association at 912-583-2713 or email Brother Robbie at rsmithdba@windstream.net.